I had really hoped that the second author on this, Dr. Alfonso, would be here today. She was instrumental in conducting some of the analyses, and so if you have questions about the analyses, I might end up saying I'm going to defer to Dr. Alfonso, but I can do my best. And but I think that this presentation is particularly important after hearing what Nina had to say about how one intervention can't address the whole community, that we have to tailor our interventions to specific segments of the population, and that's what this presentation is about. I don't have any relationships to disclose. And as probably most of you are aware, about 4 out of 5 high school students do not meet the recommended 60 minutes per day of physical activity. And another quarter of high school students are completely sedentary. And so in response to this, the CDC instituted a multi-million dollar campaign, the VERB campaign, which positioned physical activity as something that was cool and fun and popular. And so it really motivated kids to be physically active. But what it didn't do was provide opportunities for kids to be physically active. So that was up to the communities. And so in 2004, a Lexington, Kentucky coalition created the VERB Summer Scorecard, which used a community-based prevention marketing approach to leverage the brand equity of the VERB campaign. And then where I was in Sarasota, Florida, our community coalition adapted that campaign for use in their community. And so what I'm reporting on is the results of the second year of implementation. So the coalition recruited vendors in the community, physical activity outlets, who offered free and reduced cost activities for youth who had a scorecard. And you can see the scorecard. This was a brochure that was sent to the homes, and you can see this is the scorecard that can be torn off and folded. When it's folded, it fits into a wallet or the child's pocket. And so every time the child participated in an hour of physical activity, either at one of the physical activity vendors in the community or at home, an adult could sign off on one of these squares. And there are 24 squares. And after they filled out the whole scorecard, they could turn it in at one of the participating vendors and get a prize. And it was usually some sort of physical activity related prize, like a frisbee, or maybe it was a water bottle or a beach towel there down in Sarasota. And then at the end of the summer, all the scorecards were put into a raffle for a grand prize, and we had bicycles, family memberships at the Y, and that sort of thing. So our initial evaluation did show that kids that participated in the VERB Summer Scorecard campaign participated in more vigorous physical activity, more physical activity on weekends, and also had been more likely to participate in to try a new game or sport. But what we didn't know is what distinguished participants from non-participants. And so how could we tailor this intervention? How do we know which kids are more likely to participate in our intervention? And then how do we create other interventions for those kids who aren't participating? And so that was the purpose of this study, was to identify those characteristics of those VERB Summer Scorecard participants and non-participants. And this research actually has recently been published in Health Education Research. And so in 2006, we surveyed youth in 5th through 8th grade. And what we did was assigned all of the elementary and middle schools in Sarasota County to one of three socioeconomic status groups based on percent of students receiving free or reduced lunch. And so it was low, middle, or high SES groups. And then we selected one middle school and one elementary school at random from each group. And then in those schools, we administered the survey in all fifth grade classrooms and in elective classes like PE, art, Spanish, for the students who were in grades 6 through 8. And our survey instrument had 44 survey items, and most of these were drawn from the CDC's Youth Media Campaign Longitudinal Survey, which was developed to monitor the impact that the VERB campaign had on physical activity and other psychosocial correlates. And so we looked at exposure to and participation in the scorecard campaign, physical activity level, those psychosocial correlates of physical activity like benefits, barriers, subjective norms, self-efficacy, perceived parental support for physical activity, as Nina brought up, and also demographics. And so we ran descriptive statistics and entered all of those variables into a logistic regression model that where we did a backward approach where each of the variables was removed one at a time until the only variables remaining were those that were significantly related to our outcome variable, which was participation in VERB Summer Scorecard. And then we took those variables that were significant, that we found were significant in our logistic regression analysis, and entered those into our CHAID analysis, which you can see here by the name, automatically detects interactions between variables. So one thing that was important, since our outcome variable was participation, was how do we define participation? And so of those students that took that survey, we had 1,253 students take the survey, but we felt like to be considered a participant, first of all, you had to even be exposed to the program. So we asked students, how have you seen, read, or heard of the VERB Summer Scorecard program? And so if they said yes, then we considered them being exposed to the program. So from the full sample, 524 had been exposed to the program. And then we felt like, well, they can't participate in the program if they didn't get a scorecard. Scorecards were, our second year, were mailed to the homes of all youth in the participating age range, which was, I think we sent them home to 5th through 8th graders. It was students who had just completed 4th grade through students who had just completed 7th grade. And so we asked them, did you get a scorecard? And so if they said yes, then they were eligible to be considered a participant or non-participant. And so then we asked them, how much of a scorecard did you fill out? Did you fill out some of it, all of it, none of it? So if they filled out at least some of it, then they were considered a participant. And so we had 125 who didn't participate, 148 who did participate. The others didn't indicate their participation status. So you can see from the demographics, if you look at the total sample, the 1,253, boys and girls were pretty evenly distributed, but when you look at participants and non-participants, we had a greater proportion of females. And so when we went back and did some post hoc analyses, we found out that females were more likely to be exposed to the program to begin with. But gender was not related to participation. And grade was related to participation in simple bivariate analyses. And you can see here that sixth graders were more likely to be participants, and 7th and 8th graders were more likely to be non-participants. race and ethnicity was not associated with participation status. And but SES was, and you can see here in our compared to our total population that participants really kind of mirrored the total population, but were more likely to be in the high or middle SES groups, and compared to non-participants, which were a greater proportion, were from this high SES group. And so we put all of the variables into our logistic regression model and ran it until only those that were statistically significantly associated with participation were left. And you can see we had grade, SES status, self-efficacy, and parental support were the four remaining variables that were associated with participation status. And so none of the other, self-efficacy was the only psychosocial variable that was associated with participation status. But you can see here, this is basically odds ratios. So sixth graders were almost twice as likely as fifth graders to be a participant, compared to seventh and eighth graders that were over four times as likely to be non-participants as fifth graders. And for SES status, the middle SES group was more than twice as likely as the high SES group to be a participant. Low SES status, it was not statistically significant, so they were just as likely as the high to be participants. Self-efficacy was significant. And then for parental support, here again we see that parental support is so important. The moderate group, although it wasn't quite significant, two times as likely as the students who had low parental support for physical activity to be a participant. But the students who reported having high levels of parental support were over four times as likely as those who had low parental support to be a participant. And so then for our CHADE model, we took these four variables and entered them into our CHADE model to see if there were any interactions between these variables. And I wish I could blow this up, but I'll try to read these numbers off for you. So up here, these are all of the 273 non-participants and participants. So you see the total is 273 here. And then the first variable that came back significant was grade again. And so these are fifth and sixth graders. These are seventh and eighth graders. So there's 132 fifth and sixth graders, 141 seventh and eighth graders. And of the fifth and sixth graders, almost 76% were participants, compared to of the 7th and 8th graders, only 34% were participants. And then we had this interaction with socioeconomic status. So now of the 7th and 8th graders, we have 77 that were in the high SES group and 64 that were in the lower middle SES groups. And of those in the high SES group, over 76% were non-participants. So compared to lower middle SES, just over half. So of 7th and 8th graders and of the high SES group, over 3/4 of them were non-participants. So we can see that the scorecard program was more popular among the younger tweens. So VERB was created for tweens, which is the 9 to 13-year-old age range. And VERB Summer Scorecard, it seemed like it was more popular with those younger tweens. And this is probably pretty consistent with what we see in the literature, that physical activity tends to decline with age. And so interest in a physical activity program, we could see, was also seemed to decline with age, and so that's pretty consistent. And then we saw this interaction between grade and SES, and this was a little bit interesting finding to me, because typically we see that higher SES groups, or people who are in higher SES groups, tend to have more positive health outcomes. I mean, we're all used to hearing how SES is positively associated with all these great health outcomes, but in this case, the kids who were the 7th and 8th graders who were in that high SES group were less likely to participate in Verb Summer Scorecard. And what we thought was, well, maybe the kids in this category had access to paid activities. Maybe their parents put them in tennis camp or something like that. And so that started to make more sense. And then if you remember in logistic regression, the youth who were in the low SES group were also less likely to be a participant. And so we thought that maybe those in the low SES group had some other kinds of barriers to participation beyond just the monetary barriers. Self-efficacy is not surprising. We see that consistently in the literature. And the thing is, the Verb national campaign, I think, had hoped to increase kids' self-efficacy to make them feel like they could be physically active. And so we're not sure, because this is a cross-sectional study, what direction. Was it kids who had self-efficacy were more likely to participate, or was participating in the program, did that lead to having higher self-efficacy? And then the parental support is a big piece. And when we're talking about tweens, they are reliant on their parents, if for no other reason, for transportation to get to these kinds of activities. And so it's not surprising that parental support was associated with this program. And in one of the papers that the National Verb Campaign put out, one of the things that they said that they had wished they had done was pay greater attention to that parental piece and the adult piece, the adults in the community, to get buy-in earlier for this program. They were trying to make this program Verb cool and fun and popular for tweens, which meant, oh, adults could not be associated with it. But then they realized that maybe backfired a little bit. They needed to have this other parent piece. And they did have a parent piece, but they maybe needed to institute that sooner. And we also did some interviews with parents to try to figure out how could we increase participation. And one of the things that, as you're thinking about your parental piece, one of the things that we heard was they wish that they had activities for themselves and for the younger siblings when they dropped their kids off at some of these events, so that they would have something to do as well. So the study is limited by its cross-sectional design. We can't infer cause and effect. Of course, self-reported data has its limitations, prone to under or over-reporting. We did do the survey in, I think it was like October and November after the summer, so maybe kids might have forgotten some things. Maybe they forgot that they got a scorecard, for example. And then when we asked them about parental support, we asked them about parental support in the last week. And so that parental support might differ in the summer, so that could be an issue too. But what we think that the study brings is being able to identify those segments that are most likely to respond. Since community groups, schools are trying to implement physical activity programs, it's real important to figure out who's going to be likely to participate in your program and to design your intervention strategies accordingly. So you might have to have different kinds of intervention strategies. A program like Verb Summer Scorecard might be very effective for the younger tweens in the middle SES group, so you might need something different for the older tweens, kids in the lower SES groups, and kids in the higher SES groups. And so just finally, we hope that This kind of segmentation analysis can help program planners design physical activity programs, and that maybe this can encourage people to do some segmentation analyses as well. And I just wanted to acknowledge the Sarasota County Obesity Prevention Coalition, my coworkers at the Florida Prevention Research Center, and the CDC for funding this project.